what a privilege and an honour it is to be in this house tonight. And he's told my best story. So that's, man, if that doesn't get you fired up, though, the greatest thing in your life is to hear God. Miss that voice, you're missing living, I tell you. The greatest thing that'll ever happen is you'd have consistent communication with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, hello, Awaken. It's so good to be back in your house. And it was so beautiful. Pastor Leanne, you're looking as gorgeous as ever. I think you've got better. In fact, it's unbelievable how many good-looking people are at Awaken. I was just looking around before thinking something must happen in the DNA of this place. Like, very good-looking and handsome people. What a joy it is to be here tonight. And thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's an honour and a privilege to be here, actually. Dr. Matt and Michaela, it's such a joy to catch up with you guys. I always have an incredibly fond story. Because of you guys, I never caught COVID. And anyway, we'll leave that to itself. But I'll tell you now, it is a privilege and an honour to be back with you guys. I love your spirit. I love the spirit of this place. Incredible atmosphere of faith, actually. Thank you, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. You guys are just legends. We talk about you all the time back in New Zealand from those incredible days that we did have. And you guys are just legend. And what you've done here, of course, is just absolutely outstanding. And So it is indeed my great honour to be here for the team here. Thank you to the team. I need to say thank you to the team. You guys are amazing. Just walking in here. In fact, getting off the aeroplane is even a good experience here. I mean, everything's just a great experience. Thank you very much. And you guys know how to honour people, and it's that's a real God essence. And thank you, Awaken Church. You're all a part of that. Just walking in the building, your team, you're welcoming. It's beautiful. Beautiful. God's in the house. You can kind of tell in this house that the Holy Spirit's here. Even though he's unvaxxed, you can tell that he's in the house. And I like that. That's one thing I do like. You can feel his presence the second you walk in here. And that is a treasure. Today, sadly to say, a rare treasure, but it's a treasure. And keep hanging on to that Holy Spirit power. Without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. God breathed on the church in the book of Acts, and here we are today, absolutely on fire, Holy Ghost filled, walking, miracles, divine appointments. So I'm probably going to let you guys, thank you so much. You guys are amazing. Thank you. I'll let you, and we'll pray, shall we? In fact, why don't you just stay there for a minute while we pray, because we might need a bit of music while we pray, all right? So, Holy Spirit, we thank you right now for the incredible, already, God, you have cracked open an atmosphere in here for supernatural visitation. I pray right now in Jesus' name, right across this place, God, from the backside right to the altar, from the left to the right, we declare right now this to be a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost and power in this place in Jesus' name. I pray that your word would unlock faith, that your word would unlock the incredible capacity that lies dormant within us, God, that we would spring into life today, that we would hear your voice afresh, God, that we would move in our lives, God, into a stepping into a place, activating your power and faith in Jesus' name. So, God, we declare this right now to be a miracle zone, a Holy Ghost zone that unlocks hope, faith, and promises in Jesus' name. So we give you total authority, Holy Spirit. Walk down the aisles. Walk between every seat tonight. God, I pray. I just really feel there's people here who don't even feel connected. You feel you're in the house, but you're not connected. I just felt the Holy Spirit say he's walking down your row right now. God is an individual loving God. He loves you. He sees the crowd, but he loves the individual. I felt the Holy Spirit say that right now he's right there with you. That right now he is embracing you. Just like I hugged that gang member, he's hugging you right now. And he's setting you free of chains of loneliness, of breaking off. And God's releasing You're going to hear his word. We take authority over every demon that would come and try to block off our minds. We take authority over every doubt and every fear tonight, and we release the power of the Holy Ghost right now to open up your word, Lord God. Let it be that your word comes alive in our spirit tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give God a shout. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Oh, man, it's just so beautiful to be in the house. Thank you. You can be seated. And, hey, listen, I tell you what, God is an amazing, miracle-working God, all right? So if you don't believe, if you happen to be here tonight and you don't believe in miracles, you might have been invited along, and you don't believe in miracles, too late, you're looking at one. I am a walking, living testimony that God's power is way beyond any report you ever get. We talked about reports tonight. I want to tell you, forget about your report. Let's go to the Word of God. This is bigger than any report you'll ever get. This thing will unlock hope in your life, and the Word of God will release you from any curse of any report over your life. Some of us just need to get to know that tonight, and we start to live in the victory that God's got for us, okay? So anyway, a little bit about me. I brought a picture of my family just before we get into it. Otherwise, I'll forget. Bang, I just thought, there they are. That's our whole crew, all right? That's pretty much our whole crew. My beautiful wife standing beside me there, and that's pretty much our crew right there. So there you go. They're a pretty good-looking bunch, just like you guys. We'd fit in here perfectly, actually. And yeah, thank you for that, guys. We've been married, incidentally, 50 years just the other day, 50 years. Yeah, yeah. Somebody's been asking me, how the heck does that work? How do you manage to stay married for 15 years? Well, really, it's because I was born in a day where if something was broken, you fixed it, you didn't replace it, okay? And I think that's a pretty good, if you hang on to that one, you can make anything work. And I think today we've got weak and we've got soft and we're not prepared to fight through. And I'll challenge you a little bit tonight. We've got to know how to press through the barriers. We've got to now go up to God and get the victory. And when we get the victory, we rise up and we become what we want to believe for. God, that you'd make us more than conquerors. Well, you've got to overcome something if you've got to be a conqueror. And let's be winners in this world and let's make it work. And I think to do that, we need some men. I love that you've got your men's camp coming up, Emerge. I mean, man, it just, Pastor Jürgen was just showing me the video of it. It looks like it's unbelievable. The men, if you get a man on fire, that changes the entire family. Too many weak, a lot of weak, woke men in this world, and I tell you, they just made it to shambles. Our world's a shambles because of the men aren't taking a stand. The man out of his place causes the woman to be displaced, the children misplaced, and God ultimately replaced. And we need to get God back. We need to get some men that have got backbones that are titanium rods and stand for the truth and go for it in Jesus' name. We've got to hold on to that. So anyway, I got born again on Thursday, the 10th of October, 1978. I was 25 years of age, and that was the most radical turning point in anybody's life. I was 25 years old at the time. I had some unbelievable... I was living life, by the way. It wasn't like I was down in the gutter, dropped out, hoping that something would happen. I was living life to the full, all right? And then Jesus turned up through an elderly man, actually, a guy, George Thomas. George Thomas was 67 at the time, 67 at the time. He chose to come and live beside me. I'm a dangerous man to live beside, all right? And we have all kinds of stuff happens there. Yeah, hello. In fact, that I got to 25. And anyway, here we are. And so he was living beside me. We had a wild party. I mean, there was lots of wild parties, okay? And in fact, just tell you the truth, the parties haven't stopped. We're just doing it a little different, okay? It's very sad when I see people get born again and they just become boring. Like, what the heck? We should be living life on the top shelf. We should be going for it. We should be affecting our community. Everybody in your community should know that you are the most radical person on the planet, okay? And we've got to live like that. We cannot afford to pull back. Draw back, sit back. We've got to rise up and go for what God's called us for. We are the army of the Lord here on earth. So So anyway, George, he was a radical man. I mean, what would you expect? He got born again under the ministry of Smith Wigglesworth, if any of you have ever heard of him. So Smith Wigglesworth, a bit of a legend, if some of you have read about him or heard about him. I think he raised, I can't remember, 25 people from the dead. I mean, he was a legend. And so George got discipled under the ministry and traveled with Smith Wigglesworth. So he was an old fireball, and he comes living beside me. And, of course, we're having wild pud. The normal sort of person would call up whatever you call, 333, or I don't know what you call in New Zealand. What are you, 911, and get noise control around and fix it up. But George was the kind of guy, a bit like me, who'd go over and join the party. Now, we got to shift our attitude to do this kind of stuff. So he came over to our party. Here I am going for it on Californian Crystal, actually. And George turns up and he's like, man, I've got a word for you, son. And, you know, a lot of people would come over and say, turn the music down. I think he loved the music. God loves a bit of noise, you know. And so George turned up there. He didn't say turn. He said, I've got a word for you, son. And that was, you're going to get born again. God told me to come and tell. That's where I caught it from. See, it's better caught than taught, actually. You'll catch stuff in the atmosphere tonight. I've actually got some. I've given up going to points. That's just like, I used to stand up and say, I've got 3 points. And but I've given up on that. I just say, listen, I've got a few thoughts to share with you. When people look like they're getting bored, I just say, and now we're just coming to our last thought and we'll close. And just a lot easier. But George said, you're going to get radically born again, son. You're going to become a believer in God. You're going to travel the world and see mighty revival happen. You're going to see incredible power of God poured out. And then he said, do you mind if I pray for you? Well, he prayed for me. And I tell you what, that prayer was more powerful than any Californian crystal you'll ever get a hold of. That prayer shackled my heart and arrested it and brought it into line with God's incredible power. And something happened that night that revolutionized my life. And I want to tell you right now, when you've got the power of God inside, there is nothing in this world that can match it. There is nothing. He said to me, I got born again. A few weeks later, I got radically born again. Gave my life to Christ, and because God will put stuff in line in your life. If you're here tonight and you're not a believer, God will line up these things in your life. I call them divine appointments. I call them divine interruptions sometimes, because he interrupts me in the middle of a flow sometimes to get in touch with someone and tell them what God is thinking of them, even though they had no idea. And like the biker, many of them have already had an idea of God, but because someone will activate, my message tonight, incidentally, is activating the power of the Holy Ghost, okay? Activating the power of the Spirit in your life. Because I think we live half the time. We do it. We're good in church. We're all Holy Ghost people. But when we get in the middle of a gang scene, we're not so hot. Fear overcomes us. I'm amazed how many people became conquered by fear in the last couple of years when that COVID thing came. Man, fear overtook half the world. The church got involved and became shackled and held down by fear. I thought it was a great time to rise up and change the world we live in. And we need to realize when the enemy comes against you like a flood, God raises up an incredible army to go against it. I'll drink to that. But we got to realize, hey, we've got power on the inside. We need to activate. My prayer tonight is that people here, I'm going to pray for you shortly, is that the gifts of the Spirit would be activated in your life. Yes. I think one of the most powerful things as a born-again believer that is using the gifts of the Holy Ghost and flowing in them in their world and changing schools, changing workplaces, changing streets. We should carry such an impact that it literally shifts atmospheres wherever we turn up. And yet I find so often we've got the fruits of the Spirit. We love the fruits of the Spirit, don't we? You know, love, joy, peace. I'm not good on some of those things. Self-control, that's a hard one. But I find we're good, but we're like one-winged doves. We're going around in circles with the fruits of the Spirit, but we're not activating the gifts of the Spirit. And a one-winged dove is going to crash land, but we need to get both wings flapping. You want to get the fruits of the Spirit going? But let's get some powerful gifts of the Holy Ghost going with it in Jesus' name. Otherwise, we're just going to flap around and do nothing. We need to change our world one person at a time. And I believe I'm with an army of world changers here right now. So I stir your faith up a little bit on that. So anyway, so living the Christian life has been incredible. George said to me, actually, he said great words to me, great words of advice. He said, Don, you were born into the fire. You cannot live in the smoke. I think, you know, you can have all the smoke machines you got, but I want a bit of fire, okay? I love fire, actually. I'm a fire. I used to be a fire bug. I still love a bit of fire. You know, I've just bought myself a ranch so that I can actually light fires wherever I like and get a bit of action happening around the place. And but we need to know, you know, fire represents passion, and I'm looking for some passionate people of the Holy Ghost who can change your world. Right up the back there right now, there's some fire going to fall up there tonight. I've prophesied over you that the fire of God activate you tonight to rise up and activate the gifts of the Holy Ghost and change your world in Jesus' name. Change your world. So my favorite verse is Galatians 2:20. It simply says this. It says, it's no longer Don McDonnell that lives, but Christ who lives in me. We need to die to ourselves. That's hard sometimes, but we die to ourselves and we live in a newborn state of revival power, unshackling sin and setting the captives free. Hallelujah. So anyway, that's just a few thoughts about me. My beautiful wife, Julia, we've got four children. Regan got killed a few years ago, sadly to say, very tragic situation. My son, driving home from work one day, got tragically killed and hit by a 100-ton truck or whatever it was. And so that was probably, that would be the ultimate of where your faith's at. That would be the ultimate of knowing that you know God. It's not just a religious thought. Because religion can never carry you through that. Number one, you'll hate the truck driver, never be able to forgive him. Number two, your heart will be so unshackled that you can never actually rise up and live again. And I just think, man, an ultimate relationship of hearing. The worst thing that'll ever happen, actually, if you don't hear God. I remember, actually, for 2 days when my son got killed, I couldn't hear God because of my head was screaming, to be honest with you. Screaming, where are you, God? I mean, this is a new Bible because that one I tore most of pages out of because I locked myself in my office and I was like, God, you do not exist, which is kind of stupid when you think about it. You're telling God. If you tell someone they don't exist, and that's how nuts atheism is, okay? That's how nuts it is. And so I'm telling God you don't exist, and I'm trying to find, just trying. And the thing is, if you live hearing the voice of God, I like to live in pure relationship with God, hearing his voice, walking with him every day. I've spent hours just out in the forest walking and hanging with him. Coming out of that, when I first got born again, I used to go hang with them in the forest. I'd get so fired up, I'd come home and I'd start preaching to the trees. If a leaf just suddenly moved, I'd say, there, I see that leaf. And I'd have the trees getting saved. I'd go down to Mum and Dad's duck pond and preach to the ducks. I'd have ducks, boy, I'd have those ducks getting saved. But it was hard work, actually. It's very hard. But I found out if I went home and got some of Mum's good bread, and I'd come down with some of Mum's freshly baked bread, cast a bit of that out to these ducks, man, they'd all come to Jesus. And I'd have those ducks gathering in, the ducks would come in, then I'd prophesy over them, they'd go off quacking in other tongues and change their world in Jesus' name. But let me tell you this, to not hear the voice of God, to be distant from the voice of God, would be the most broken state you could ever be in. And sadly to say, I found myself in that place after my son got killed. Hard to believe, but I found myself there. And I was trying to find him. I'd open up the Bible and I'd try to read it, and it just didn't make sense. For God so loved the world. Really? Rip those pages out. I had a very skinny Bible left, and I was throwing it against the wall. And the last time I threw it against the wall, which was on the third day, incidentally, a lot can happen on the third day, all right? Yeah. On the third day, you sang about it tonight, you can't put God in a box, okay? And I like the way that God's not in a box in this church, but he's out there. He's right where you are right now. He's ready to change you, heal you, and set you free, okay? And so it hit the ground. The last time it hit the ground, it banged down the ground. And I looked down. It was open to the book of Job. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm Job. I get it, God. I'm Job. Lose everything, your wife, everything's gone. And so I knelt down to read it a little closer. And, And as I got closer, I started reading it, and I got glued to it, and I started reading through the book of Job because I thought, this must be me. I got to Job 19:25, and it says these words, "Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And I tell you, right then, my heart broke open. I cried. I wept with the most beautiful tears for the first time. And then all of a sudden, and it was just the most beautiful thing in the world, I tell you what, you know, grief should never be to a believer. Grief should never be a thing that ruins us. It should rejuvenate us because we know that our loved ones are with the Lord. This is the importance of the born-again experience. This is the importance of going with God. And so that was a very powerful moment for me. And then for whatever reason, I thought, man, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I went over and typed it into my computer because that's sort of what you do. And I Googled it, yea, though he slay me. And up comes this beautiful woman, Nicole C. Mullen. Some of you may know of her. Nicole C. Mullen singing, "For I Know My Redeemer Lives." And I want to tell you, as she was singing that song that night, never to be forgotten, on the third night after my son's death, she's singing this song, "For I Know My Redeemer Lives." And all of a sudden, I see, and this is stuff that's, should be normal to us, really. But anyway, the Holy Spirit walked straight through the wall. Just straight through the wall. I'm locked in there for 3 days. Wouldn't let a soul in. The door's locked. He walked straight through the wall, and he comes over, and then he points down, and I look down, and there's my heart, like a ceramic tile smashed in a million pieces on the ground. And he bends down, never said a word, just pointed to it, bent down, scooped it up in his hand, just pressed it against here, and he said, "Son, you're healed." And I want to tell you, I walked out of that room that night knowing that my God can heal your broken heart. He can restore your broken lostness. He can put you back together. Even though your heart's been ripped out, he'll put you back together, friend. And whoever you are tonight with a broken heart, I want to tell you right now, my God can put your heart back together. He's not a dead God. He's not a barely get by God. He's a God that can pick up your brokenness, put it back together, and send you on a mission to change the world in Jesus' name. He's a healer and he is a restorer. Anyway, I thought tonight I'll just give you a few thoughts, like I said. And but I want to talk about activating your faith tonight. I tell you what, we need to activate faith in our lives. I'm big on faith, all right? I live by faith. I walk by faith. I mean, I've got, you're looking at me right now. Well, doctors are telling me I can't walk, okay? So I've got x-rays that prove that my spine is so shattered and damaged that but nothing I'm doing should be able to do, okay? So there's a miracle right there. He's a miracle-working God. And so, in fact, a little while ago, I got invited back because they do these checks on me because they're convinced that I should not be able to do anything I do, okay? So I got invited back, and they put me through the MRI scan again, and they do a scan on me. And then Dr. Chaney comes out. He says, "Well, Don, you're the most unbelievable person I know." He says, "People come in here with a hip operation. They can barely move." And he said, "You come in here with a broken neck, and you look like a teenager. And what is it with you?" And I tell him, it's my God, man. He's bigger than any of your reports. He's bigger than anything you throw at me. And he... And he peels out my x-ray and he says, "This would prove to me that you should not be able to walk out of here." And I say, "The difference is I have no faith in your report." And seriously, with all respect to the medical field, because the medical people, I honor you and I respect every medical person, but I ain't going to receive your report. And so he tries to give me the report, and I said, "Mate, that report means nothing to me because I'm standing on 2 Corinthians 5:7 that says I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith in the Word of God, and I don't walk by sight. I'm not looking at the report. I'm looking at the Word of God, and I hold this higher than anything on this planet. I hold this higher than any report you will give me." And I want to tell you, God's honored that, and God's been faithful to that. And I'm still here, man, and I'm still going. In fact, I feel like two 35-year-olds tonight, really, right now as I stand here. I feel more energized than I've ever felt. I feel like I'm on fire. And I feel like, man, we've got to stand up for righteousness, run with the truth, and keep running. I don't care what they throw at you. We keep running, okay? So anyway, stand with the truth, go with the truth. The verse I want to give you tonight anyway, I'll just rattle it off because we've got to have a verse. I was at a church the other day and they said to me, "You didn't use any verses." And I was like, well, the reality and the truth is that we should be outliving right now, Acts chapter 29, we should be like living it. I said, too many people are in the Word but not activating the Word. They're in it, but they're not activating it. They know the Word, but they're not living the Word. We've got to live the Word, man. The Word, like, it'll get you up when you're down. It'll pull you out of darkness and into the light every single time. He'll win the battle for you, even though you think you're going to be defeated. I want to tell you, this stuff works. So the verse I want to give you tonight is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, and it simply says this. It says, looking unto Jesus. Now, I want to say we live in a tough world right now. The world is probably darker than it's ever been in reality, okay? Darker than it's ever been. There's more trouble in the world right now. It's crazy out there. Common sense is flowing out the door. I don't know where common sense went. They're all nuts. Most of the leaders in the world are nuts, okay? And we've got to hold on to the Word like never before, because there's a lot of deception out there. There's a lot of people losing it, and they're losing their minds, and they're losing track of what they are and who they are and lost their identity. And we've got to go back to the Word every time. So we're not looking at our world. We're looking unto Jesus, okay? And I want to challenge you, let's be a people that in our darkest hour, we lift up our eyes and we look to Jesus, not to the circumstances. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. So he's the Alpha and Omega. He started my faith. He can finish it, okay? He started you off and he's going to finish you off. And he's got a great plan for your life. And we don't look back. We go with the power. So all over this place tonight, there's an anointing right now. And it's the power of God activated. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, because I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy, incidentally, who for the joy that was set before him, despising it, endured the cross, despising its shame. Sometimes we look at the darkness around us and we get pulled down by it. You know, I was reading a report the other day about the world we live in right now and how that the, you know, your interest rates are up, your fuel rates are up, just about every house prices are up. It's gone crazy. And people are, there's more depressed people than you ever saw in your life right now, okay? And so they're pulled down because of this. But this report said, remember the rule where if you dropped a piece of food on the floor and a 3-second rule? They reckon they've extended the 3-second rule to 20 seconds just so that you can get through the hard times that are around us right now, right? So be encouraged by that. Be encouraged. There's hope where there doesn't seem to be hope, okay? And so you can do it. You can do it. That's good news. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Looking unto Jesus, okay? So I want to challenge you tonight. Let's be people that fix our eyes on Jesus. My first thought to you tonight would be, the church is the greatest organization on the planet, okay? You are in the greatest organization on the planet right now. There are miracles here. There's healing here. There's restoration here. This is a house of miracles right here. We're sitting in a house of miracles, okay? A lot of you have had miracles. A lot of you are miracles. I want to activate you tonight to be a miracle worker, okay? Jesus called the 12 unto himself in Matthew chapter 10, and it says he called his disciples to himself. Not to some ministry, to himself. Our relationship, number one, is with God, that we can have a connection with him that's intimate and relative to our lives, okay? Then it says he gave them power. Well, I want to know where that power is today, because God gave us power over sickness, power over demons, power over every effect that the world would throw against us, and we are more than conquerors. So we've got to understand that when that power came upon them, that they went out and changed the world, guys. Let's go out and change it a little. Yeah. So I'm encouraging you here, go into the hospitals, wherever you're at, let's go change the world, even in your own house. You know, when COVID came, they had us all locked down, as you know. Locked down, we had all the time in the world in our hands, but it wrecked 1,000 marriages, wrecked people's lives all over the place. Mankind's not meant to be lonely. And so they locked us down, and a lot of people were lonely. I start, because in those places, I'm like, you cannot lock me down, okay? No, right. I get rebellious.
Yeah, good.
And so I got in a lot of trouble, a lot of hate mail, a lot of rubbish happening in the world. Yeah. But it's all worth it. I love it. Right now, I love it, even now. But see, because you can change lives. So, for example, I heard about a person up the road who they're having marriage difficulties. So I thought, well, man, we've got the answer to marriage. I mean, I've been married for 50 years. I must know something. So I invited them. I said, why don't you come over to our place? And it was through another couple because you're not allowed to gather, you know. It was just weird. You weren't allowed to gather. And I said, look, tell them to come to our place on a Wednesday and we'll meet with this couple. We may be able to help them, okay? So they came to our place masked up to billio. And the first thing I said to them, of course, get the flipping masks off. I'm not, whatever you've got is never going to affect me. I am an infectious, contagious disease called the Holy Ghost and power. Nothing can affect me, okay? And so I'm not afraid of any. I mean, I tell you, I'm not afraid of anything on this planet. There is nothing that intimidates me. When you've got God on the inside, he's bigger than anything. In fact, there's people here tonight and fear rules your life. And I want to tell you, you need to drop kick fear out of your life and start living in the victory that God won for you and get over that fear. And I want to tell you, God can set you free. Just looking at the clock, I'm nearly out of time, man. Anyway, they came down. I have to tell it to you quick now. They came down and came to our place and got the masks off them so you can see what the heck they look like. I mean, what sort of a thing is that? Anyway, they came and they sat down. We did it outside because you've got New Zealand turned into just a bunch of dobbers. I don't know what the heck happened. If they're lucky, I'm saved. Because when I wasn't saved, if you were a dobber, you were dead, okay? And so, but we had lots of dobbers around us. And so you had to, like if you brought them into your house, you know that someone's going to dob on you. So I said, look, we won't go in, we'll sit out on the deck. Anyway, we sit down with this couple, nice couple, well, kind of nice. And anyway, we sit down and he says, look, we've got great marriage problems. Our marriage is busting up in this COVID time. And I said, well, very simple, just get to the point. I just said, it's very simple. Jesus is the answer to your marriage. And he says, well, hang on a minute, we're Muslims. And I said, well, what good's that done you? And so just the truth. Just the truth. What good's that done you? And they sort of looked at each other and a bit of confusion went on. And then I said, well, what you need? I said, I have a relationship with the God who loves me. And I know that relationship. I speak to him every day. He's giving me words about you right now, sir. And this guy started to like, man, what is this? And then next thing he says to me, I don't think I'm a Muslim anymore. And I was quite weird, actually. Because seriously, we should create an atmosphere that unshackles people. See, we're, sit down so we can get on, but we're running out of time. We should have create an atmosphere, though, that causes people to get unlocked from their demonic strongholds just being in our presence, okay? And I want to challenge you tonight. Get ready for that, okay? Get ready for that. God wants to unlock you. Now, so next thing I said, well, what are you? He said, I think I'm an atheist now. And I said, well, that's a perfect place to be because now that you're an atheist, we can get you Jesus and we can bring Jesus to you and you can have a relationship with Christ and know the living God. I don't want you to get religion. I want you to get Christ, okay? So anyway, next thing, the guy's saying, yeah, well, that makes sense to me. And so they both say, we'd like to receive Jesus as our Savior. Now, I hate that thing where, you know, you pray a little prayer and they follow along like some sort of robot, you know. It doesn't work for me. I don't like it. And so I said, look, here's the sort of prayer. I said, look, invite Jesus into your heart. Get rid of sin out of your life. Invite Jesus in and you'll get born again and you'll be a changed person, okay? And so I was quite impressed, actually. He prayed a prayer. In fact, quite an impressive prayer. I don't know. Maybe it was a Muslim prayer with Jesus on the end. I don't know. But quite a good prayer. And he prayed this prayer. And next thing, while he's praying it, the Holy Spirit says to me, he needs to get baptized to wash away his old self and get radically transformed. So when he's praying this nice prayer that he prayed, I said to him at the end of it, Matt, you need to get baptized now. Because I said, you need to bury that old man and rise up a new creation. And he'd been involved in the Asian gangs in Auckland. So quite an angry man. And anyway, so after the prayer, I said to him, mate, we need to baptize you. And he looks over and he says, well, there's your water, there's your pool, why don't you do it now? And I said, what a great idea. We took him down. This is while COVID was on. You, mate, no mask. I mean, I don't think it made any difference if you go in the water with a mask on or whatever anyway. But we put him under the water. Out he came speaking in other tongues, radically transformed by the power of an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. We need Jesus on the inside. He will set you free from any religious behavior. I want to tell you, we need God. So the second thought I wanted to share with you tonight, what are you carrying? Because I think we don't carry the presence. See, if you're not carrying something, you've got nothing to give me. We need to be carrying the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We sang about the oil tonight. God, give me some fresh oil. Give me some fresh oil. Man, you need, man, in fact, we should just get you all under the oil of the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's go out and change San Diego in Jesus' name. Let's set the schools on fire with the power of God. God, there are so many today needing miracles. Thousands of people right now needing miracles. I want to tell you, they're locked down. They're broken on the inside. And I want to just prophesy over you tonight that you become the hottest evangelist in San Diego. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, I believe you, sir. I believe. Now, I'm going to come down here, if that's okay. It always messes up the cameras. But, sir, right here, looking at you. Jump out of that seat and come up here. I don't know who you are, but God does, all right? But I believe there's a calling and there's an anointing on you to be an evangelist, to carry the power of God and bring change in every world you live in, okay? Step right out here, and I'm going to pray for you. The power of God's on you right here tonight. And in Jesus' name, what is your name, buddy? Noah? Oh, that's a good name, man. Lift your hands toward heaven right now. Holy Ghost, get them up a little higher than that. You need to break something. Break something in the atmosphere, right? Like I'm talking this high. I'm talking right now, a cloud disappears over you, okay? I'm talking right now, the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes on you. I'm talking about a bit of what's on me gets on you. Holy Ghost, right now, I release the power of God. I thank you, God, right now, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. I impart into your spirit right now an anointing of evangelism in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost power flood through your life, changes the world around you, and get ready, because God says, I'm going to unlock this in your life. As you read my word, as you study my word, God says, I'm going to set a fire burning on the inside of your spirit. Amen. Holy Ghost, go with it. Go with it. We've got to carry it. The thing is, we've just got to carry it, because if we walk through life, now, see, I'm sitting down in a cafe the other day. I'm sitting down in a cafe in Australia, actually, in a beautiful place called Mooloolaba. You guys know what I'm doing. I love Mooloolaba. It's like a holiday camp. I went there. We're sitting down in a restaurant. Julia and I are sitting down there. The girl comes out to serve us. I'm like, she's got an English accent. So I started talking to her about her accent. I said, I love your accent. Which part of England you're from? We spent a little bit of time over there in the early days planting Hillsong Church, I think it was. And so I said to her, what brought you to Australia? She said, well, actually, I'm a psychiatrist. But she says, it's a waste of time. It doesn't work anymore. She said, there's more mental cases in England now than ever before. And it's come to a crisis. We can't help them any longer. And I said, that's because you've got no power. I said, you've got no power. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I've got power that can unlock people like that and set them free. And so we've got to get bold with the faith that's on. If you're not carrying it, you can't deliver it. But if we've got power with us, it'll change the circumstances and the atmosphere. So we're sitting in that cafe, and she's saying, well, it's a funny thing you mentioned that. She said, when I was at university, I did my thesis on who's the happiest people on earth. And this could surprise you tonight, but apparently she found out that the happiest people on earth are men over the age of 40 who are Christian. They're the happiest people on earth. That was her survey. This is from a non-believer, okay? The happiest people on earth are men who are over the age of 40. And I said, well, why is that? Please tell me why that is. She said, there's four reasons why that is. She said, number one, she said they pray to a God they believe hears their prayer. Number two, they read a Bible that has values and truths they can live by and practice in their daily life. Number three, they go to churches and worship together. And number four was they pray together in small groups and encourage each other that they can overcome. And I said, there's a four-point sermon for you right there. I said to her, well, you need to get born again. I said, you're talking to me about the happiest people and you're living outside of that. And she said, yeah, well, I haven't met anybody like you. That was two words to me. And I said, well, you've met someone now. Can I pray for you right here? So in the middle of the cafe, we stalled the entire cafe. Actually, you've got to set fire to some of these cafes. Get the power of God in them. Anyway, we're praying for her in the middle of the cafe. The power of God comes. She starts weeping. But she didn't receive Christ, but she's weeping her heart out. And anyway, we were there for, I think, 5 days, having coffees with her, talking to her, telling her she needs to give her life to Jesus. She was finding it difficult. Her English, what do you call that? Her pride, her English kind of stalling stuff, you know? And I said, no, you need to give your life to... Anyway, on the last day, I went and I said, well, Megan, we've got to go back to New Zealand, so we're leaving today. Just came to give you a hug and tell you we love you, and let's stay in touch. Anyway, we're driving to the airport. On the way to the airport, we get a phone call from Megan on the way to the airport. She says, look, I've just resigned. And she says, I don't know what you've done to me. I've been crying ever since you walked out of that cafe. And I want to come to New Zealand and come and stay with you for a few days and find out about this Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, Jesus can change the world. He's here. I've got 16 seconds to go. You can't do anything unless you're carrying it, okay? You've got to carry the anointing to unlock the power of God. We've got to activate something that we're carrying. You can't do this if you're not bold enough to step out in it. And fear grips people and holds them back. He is a miracle-working God, okay? Miracle. I'm a walking miracle. I'm such a walking miracle, I forget that I'm healed. I think, man, I've been like this all my life, and I've got to remind myself, Don, be grateful for what God has done in your life. Be grateful all the time. See, gratefulness and fear cannot occupy the same space. So we've got to realize that to be grateful is a heart condition, that we set ourselves on fire with the anointing of the oil of God. Now, I'd like to pray for a few people tonight. And I want to pray that you become contagious, okay? I feel to impart something tonight. Like George said to me, he said, you're going to catch it off me and you'll never be the same again. You'll lay hands on the sick and you'll see them recover. The dead will come alive, okay? I've seen dead people come alive. I've seen incredible, I could go all night just telling you incredible miracles about the power of God. Like, I'll give you one more, actually, because in Vietnam, I do a lot of stuff in Vietnam. We've planted 100 churches in Vietnam, okay? And so when I used to go to Vietnam 40 years ago, we'd walk through Vietnam and there'd be communist Viet Cong looking at you and you could barely move. People used to come with me and say, this is not a missions trip, it's too scary. And I'd say, that's when you're living on the edge. That's when we love it. And we'd walk through there and I'd say, every place you put your foot, you claim the ground for Jesus, okay? And we could only meet with two or three people in little wee rooms. It was kind of hard work. Cops chasing us. Now, 45 years later, we're holding meetings in Vietnam with 12,000 people turning out and thousands coming to Jesus. Thousands getting born again. Thousands coming to Christ. Now, that can only happen if you don't have fear. So I remember we were doing a big meeting. We called it a big meeting. It was about 100 people one day, and the Viet Cong came and arrested me, okay? So they come and arrest you. That's like you're living on the top of life when you get arrested. Something like that happens. This is living now. Before it was boring. Now we're living. So they took me, put me in an airplane, free trip down to we went to Hanoi. Free trip to Hanoi to the government offices, the government buildings there, headquarters. And they marched me in there and they sat me down and they had the Minister of Education, the Minister of Police, the Minister of every minister you could think of, okay? Even the General of the Army was there, okay? Just felt such a privileged person to be sitting in a room with such incredible power. And they're interrogating me. They're interrogating me about what am I doing in Vietnam? Why am I trying to alter people's lives? And I said, listen, I love Vietnam, guys. I've come here because God loves this nation and I just want to bring hope to your people. And then the Minister of Police is there and he starts interrogating me and he's looking really mean. And I said to him, sir, just before you go on with those questions, God is telling me about your son. And I said, I don't know why that is, but God is telling me that your son is hooked on heroin. And I said, God told me that if I pray for your son, he's going to get delivered from a spirit of heroin. He's going to get set free. The Minister of Police this is the Viet Cong. This is the ugliest people on the planet. He starts weeping in the middle of the meeting. He starts tears, crying, and he doesn't know why. And I said, sir, I can see your son right now getting made whole because of the love of God in this nation. Do you know? He said these words, we've been watching you for whatever it is, 30 years. We've been watching you travel through Vietnam. We've had spies on you. We've been watching every move you make. And he said this to me, you're the real deal. And he said, most of the Europeans who come here, they're just coming here for hot sex and whatever. And he says, but we've watched you and there's something different about you. And he says, they just call me McDonnell, okay? He says, McDonnell, here's what we're going to do. we're going to give you a license. You can preach anywhere. You'll be the first European. You can preach anywhere you like all across the nation of Vietnam. You can go into our schools and our universities, and you can bring the power of God into our nation. And I want to tell you, I have literally, now when we're holding meetings there, the ambulance drivers tell me now, we no longer take people to the hospital, we bring them to your meetings. We're having a meeting, like, you're talking like fiery meetings, like whatever, 8,000 people in these radical meetings, and they are wild. And then next day they come and grab you, they say there's two ambulances out the front with dead people in them. It's like, you're like, send somebody else. And they're like, no, they want you. And you go down and you lay hands on these dead people in ambulances and they come alive in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, we serve a God who is able to change our planet. We cannot shrink back. We've got to walk into it. We've got to run with it. We've got to go with it. And in Jesus' name. So here's. Anyway, that's the last story for tonight. I want to pray for some people now. But I believe this right now. I'll tell you. There's an anointing here tonight that breaks the yoke, okay? An anointing that breaks the yoke, okay? And I think a lot of us are yoked. We're yoked with fear. We're yoked with feelings of inferiority. We got to overcome that, and we got to be what God's called us to be. We got to be what the power of God enables us to be. So I want to pray for some people here. The first people I want to pray for, and I'll tell you now, if you have sickness or disease in your life, I believe there's an anointing here right now that you can be totally set free of every sickness and every disease, all right? Now, I could pull you out and have special words over you and stuff, but I just want you to stand right now. If you have sickness or disease in your body, stand right where you are right now. Just stand up wherever you are. We're going to declare the miracle-working power of the Holy Ghost over this place right now. In fact, oh boy, in fact, there's a cloud of glory coming down on this place right now. You better believe God loves people in such a way, when he sees them suffering, when he sees them hurting, all God wants to do is come and love on you and share his love with you. So right now, in Jesus' mighty name, if you wouldn't mind, if you can, if you've got a frozen shoulder tonight, well, I command that to be set free right now and lift that arm toward heaven. And in Jesus' name, we're going to believe for mighty breakthroughs right now. Holy Ghost, I thank you, even as my brother stands here tonight. Holy Spirit, I break the spirit of infirmity off your body right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, right now for total healing in every fiber. Ma'am, receive the Holy Ghost power right now in Jesus' name. Now, right across this meeting, right up the back, sir, receive an anointing of the Holy Ghost right now from the top of your head to the sole of your head. I speak to your central nervous system, calling you whole and complete as God's word declares you to be. Right now, I activate the supernatural in every fiber of your being in Jesus' name. Right up here, Lord God, young lady standing right there in the green. You're going to walk out of here totally different tonight. You're going to walk out of here with the incredible release of God's love all over your life. In fact, if you can come on down. I'm going to pray for you specifically. Did you have your hands in the air? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, just going to get to this lady while we're waiting right there. Holy Spirit, right now, I declare, I activate the supernatural, speak to your central nervous system, calling you whole and complete as God's word declares you to be. And right now, Lord, let a miracle take place in her body in Jesus' name. What is your name?
Christine.
Good name, Christine. Christine, get ready for the power of God to come on you. How long have you been a believer for? God's about to do some stuff in your life. I tell you right now, I just saw, just as you stand here, I see God putting some defibrillators in your hands, and God saying, get ready, I'm going to cause you to bring dead spirits back to life again, people who are dead, people who lost their way. There's an evangelist anointing about to put a defibrillator in these hands that shocks into life dead hearts, dead spirits. And to do that, God says you need to receive a miracle. So right now, in Jesus' name, I smash the curse of infirmity off your life. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Right across this building, Lord, we declare right now, we activate the power of the Holy Spirit. Miracle in Jesus' name. A miracle right here in Jesus' name. Miracles are not hard for God. He just does them, I tell you. He just does them. Right now, I speak to your central nervous system, calling you whole and complete. In Jesus' mighty name, right now, I release a miracle into your spirit. We sat beside each other tonight. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for this beautiful miracle right here. Just take a step forward, too, from where you are. God says, you're going to be a young woman who knows what it is to walk by faith and not by sight. In fact, you've caught something even in this meeting tonight. And it's like God's telling me, you're going to have incredible favor on your life. Mum and Dad, get ready for that. You're going to have great favor on your life. Wherever you go, God's going to give you the ability. You're not like a thermometer that checks the atmosphere. You're the thermostat that sets the atmosphere. And you're going to be an atmosphere changer. Even as a young girl, incredible faith and boldness of faith coming on your Holy Ghost. I thank you right now for a supernatural miracle on her body. I thank you, Lord God, right now that you are the God who sets captives free. And right now, infirmity has no authority over you in Jesus' mighty name. While you're still standing all over this meeting, I release the power of God on every single disease, every single, God, whatever it is, God, that they need is a miracle. Somebody needing to conceive and have a baby, I declare that miracle on you right now in Jesus' name. In an atmosphere like this, there's just miracles all over here, okay? So just grab that. I feel 100 miracles on me right here. I feel 100 miracles like bursting out. Now, because time's up and I'm getting hungry, I wanted to just impart a supernatural impartation of evangelism here tonight. And I want to tell you, get ready for some results. Now, before you say, yeah, that's me, I want some of that, I'm going to tell you this. You'll be awake for hours on end at night, all right? God's going to run video tapes past you. You'll see people in those videos that you're going to meet in the shop tomorrow or down the road. This is the kind of stuff I experience. So I see people before I ever get in touch with them. And then you know a miracle's going to happen, okay? Like the other day, I had a dream, and I'm walking just through the shopping center, and I'm walking through there just feeling good, because we should feel good. We're born again. We're Holy Ghost filled, okay? So I'm walking through there just feeling good about myself, and this woman comes toward me, and I'm like, do I know this lady? I'm thinking I know. And she says, what is it about you, sir? And I said, I don't know. I'm just being me. And she said, there's something about you that I can feel in the shopping center. Like, there's a shopping center. And I'm like, well, I said, it can only be that I'm a born-again believer, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm on fire. And she says, man, can I talk to you about that? And we sit down in this little cafe thing on the side there. I tell her about Jesus. On Sunday, she turns up in church. The sound goes wrong. Everything goes wrong on the day that she comes. But the power of God grips her heart, and she got radically born again. Now, I believe, I want to tell you right now, see, we should carry that anointing. And I want to pray for people. Sir, right there. In fact, sir, right there. I'm looking at you right now. I don't know you from a bar of soap, but I want to tell you, the power of God's on you. The Holy Ghost is on you right now. Come on out of here, sir. I want to tell you, God's going to give you a heart for the lost. You probably already got a heart. Am I doing that? You probably already got a heart for the lost. And I want to tell you, there's something, you've caught something in the atmosphere tonight, sir. And I want to tell you right now, get ready for a radical dimension of the Holy Ghost to come on you tonight. The same fire that's on me, I impart it to you right now in Jesus' name. Let the radical evangel, these feet are going to take the gospel. You're going to see outstanding miracles in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. We need about a five-hour meeting to do all this correctly. But what we're going to do right now is I want you right now, wherever you are in this meeting, if you want to have an impartation of Holy Ghost power to activate the gifts of evangelism and the anointing in your life, stand to your feet right now. We're going to pray over you. If you can, if you want to, I don't know how you work it here. If you want to crowd the older, we'll do that. And let's get you soaked in a bit of fresh oil. Amen. Everybody's standing anyway, so just stay where you are. Which interpreted means the devil is freaking out right now about the army that's about to be released out of awakened church. Oh boy, I tell you, I feel an anointing here right now that's going to unshackle people from fear. In fact, just right now, make this your confession right across this place from the very back to the front. I renounce the spirit of fear. I will have no part in the fear of man or intimidation, because I am a blood-bought Holy Ghost believer. And right now, I receive an impartation of the Holy Ghost and power. I declare that I will obey your voice, Lord, as I go into my world and unshackle it from the pain and the darkness. I receive an anointing of evangelism and power right now.